Mike Malevsky here, and I'm happy to have in the studio Shelley Hughes, a representative, Alaska State House, running for re-election in the November ballot. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm happy to be here with you.
Well, we have been doing the same set of questions with all the candidates, and I'll start by doing a little bit of a background theme. Our theme has been to ask candidates how they work with others. And the background for why we have chosen that theme is that our observations are that nationally and here in Alaska, there seems to have developed a more than usual political polarization. And that's resulted in gridlock and decisions made by a use of power that isn't always or doesn't always appear to be backed by a majority of citizens. So we have five questions, and then you'll have an opportunity to say whatever you'd like. Mm-hmm. The first question is, how do you view the present quality of state government? And what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
Wonderful question. And one of the things that I have tried to do, and I keep before me on a daily basis, is to be a stateswoman and not a politician. And I am very proud of the fact that I have every issue that I've worked on, every effort that I have carried as a legislator, all my legislation has been bipartisan in nature. Every bill that I had passed had wonderful bipartisan support. And so I can say that that is something that is a quality of mine, is to work across the aisle and build consensus. So that's to answer your general theme that some people do play party politics, but I am not one of them. As far as the quality of government and my approach, the goal is I had the opportunity to go through some wonderful leadership training through the University of Virginia. And before you get too far along on an issue, the goal is to find consensus, common issues at the beginning rather than waiting till the divide occurs. So that is typically what I do before we have something that goes out on the House floor, is to begin to work with people in the body, in the House, early and find those common solutions and work through some of those differences early. And by doing that, we come up with a very good product at the end. And that very good product then helps us have better quality government. So I guess that is my best answer, Mike, for you and for the voters if they're interested.
Thank you.
Hopefully they're interested, and that's why they're tuned in.
That's right. Well, thank you. The second question, how would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to the issue? For example, what would you specifically do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
Mike, just a moment. Before I just want to give an opportunity to back up on the previous question, because I think sometimes we can talk about things. As a stateswoman, I can say I've done this or that, but I would like to just name really quickly a couple specific things so folks know those kind of issues that I've worked on that are important to MATSU that have had bipartisan support. I worked on a bill regarding agricultural that would allow new farmers and those really trying to get going to give them a tax break, and it gives the local option to do that. I also worked on the economic development organizations. You know, jobs are very important for our growing area, and there was a program that needed to be reviewed and is important to our state, and I carried that bill. I also worked on a business license bill to streamline that so people wouldn't have to go out and get multiple business licenses. They could do it on one application. I was also recently, as the chair of the Economic Trade and Tourism Committee, I was recently appointed to the new Marketing Tourism Board, and tourism is something in our area that is an important issue, working with people across the spectrum on that. And then I've worked specifically on some road solutions having to do with the Springer system and people getting in and out, having to do with the commuter traffic, we'll start to see some implementation on a pilot project to get some turnarounds and some traffic management in when there are closures and the The public safety folks are focused on the incident. There will be a contract with traffic managers to get the traffic turned around if need be and off the highway. So I've worked on very, very specific things as a track record of that. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Now,
your other question.
Back to the second question. How would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to the issue, and what would you specifically do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
Vital. It's very vital to have ethics. And I think the place to start is to make sure to elect those who are going to serve, that they be people of integrity. And I believe that is a starting point, because if you have people that aren't in that state of mind and aren't operating in that way, it's very, very difficult. And so that is number one. I personally don't have the experience of getting large contributions of money, for instance, and having to deal with that. So I haven't had to worry about that. But I do tell people, if they do contribute to me, that I'm not beholden to them in that way. I have to represent my district and do the best that I can as far as making judgments on decisions that come before me. And I know the Supreme Court has made a decision as far as the freedom of speech and the ability for folks to express their views through contributions. So as far as clean election laws, I haven't studied up on those and how they're working in other states. But until this issue comes back before – is challenged and comes back before the Supreme Court, I'm not sure that we would want to go there, because I do believe freedom of speech is very important. And again, I would say coming back to the foundation of making sure we have people that are serving that have integrity, I think that is number one. And I am one, Mike, actually – I've told people this before. I can't put my head on my pillow at night. I can't go to sleep if I know something is just a little bit off. And, you know, even if it's just something that was unintentional or whatever, I will fix it and make it right. And that's very important to me. So,
okay. Well, thank you. The next question: what are the most serious environmental problems you see needing to be addressed, and what do you see as, in particular, a state role in finding a solution to those problems?
I believe that the offshore drilling is something that is on the horizon, is going to be something that will be happening, and as that revenue that we will receive as a state becomes very important to us, that is something that we also have many coastal communities. And with the decreased ice in the Arctic and the opening of the shipping lanes and that shorter route, which, by the way, is a wonderful economic opportunity for Alaska over the coming years, because it shortens the other routes considerably by a couple days, actually. So it'll be really important that we are equipped and ready and know how to deal with any incidents that might be on those waters. And I believe that is important. The Alaska Arctic Policy Commission has been working on those issues and has some great expertise focused on that. I know the universities are working on that as well. The UAA recently got can't remember what it's called right now, but it's a special designation to do some marine research, and that will feed into that to make sure that we are in good shape. And we are the state that makes the United States an Arctic nation, so I do think we need to take a front and center role and be working on that and be prepared so that we can do it right and not quickly be scrambling at the point of a disaster and disrupt, not only be harmful to the environment, but disrupt the process of the drilling.
Okay, thank you. The third, fourth question. The state of Alaska has chosen to not participate in an expansion of Medicaid as offered by the federal government. What is your understanding of government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care along with education about healthier living and early treatment?
Thank you. I worked in healthcare policy for 6 years for the Primary Care Association, so I'm quite familiar with some of the needs, those unmet needs. And I always take the opportunity to make sure folks are aware of the community health centers. We have over 160 community health center sites in the state, and those are wonderful clinics, absolutely incredible providers who've stepped up and provide care to those that might not otherwise be able to afford care, perhaps don't have insurance coverage or adequate insurance coverage. They also work with specialists if there is need beyond the primary care. There's also the CAMA program. I believe it's the chronic and acute medical assistance, which is for those who don't qualify for Medicaid, certain conditions, and that's a program also we have in this state that we have been able to continue to fund. And so those are two things where I think that people need to be aware the state and the federal government also is part of, does provide some funding for those programs. I believe that making sure that we have superb training for healthcare professionals in this state is very important because we want if we school our Alaskans, our young Alaskans, even in our not so young Alaskans who decide to go back to school in state, they're more apt to stay here and provide those services here. So I think that's very important. I also was part of an incentive program. It was prior to being a legislator, and it is now on the books to allow incentives and loan repayments for those that come from out of state, and hopefully, and a lot of those would be Alaskans returning, but sometimes there are times where there is not an Alaskan trained as a certain type of professional, and we do need to import someone. Many Alaskans today weren't born here, and they came from other places, so That is something also to make sure that we have the providers, especially in the underserved areas and for the underserved populations.
Okay. Last question. Many observers suggest that the next few years will see a decline in revenue that will put increasing pressure on the state's budgets, especially the funding of education as well as basic services such as transportation infrastructure and public safety. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions for matching funding and needs?
That is the question of the hour, of the decade, I would say. I would say that's the question of the decade because actually as we look at revenue projections, it looks like we will have what I am calling a lean decade as we begin to work to reverse the oil decline. As we are moving forward with the gas line project, which we project will bring in $2 to $3 billion once that's up and running, if it's the large diameter and we are successful in negotiating contracts with the Asian markets. By the way, for the listeners, that will provide, there will be offtake points for Alaskans also to bring our energy costs down. It's very important. But those two things don't happen overnight. And so in the meantime, we have to work to be very good stewards of what we have. We have a limited amount of savings. We know the revenue is going to be less than it has been in the past. Yet at the same time, our population is growing. We still have an obligation as a state government under our constitution to provide certain services. So one thing we have to look at is actually go back to that state constitution and see what are the things that are absolutely essential. Sometimes we've done programs that are very nice when we've had plenty of revenue, but they aren't necessarily things we're required to do. So there may be some tough decisions. One thing we have to be very cautious of is the formula spending. Those are the largest cost drivers, are education and the Medicaid program and the PERS-TERS, which is the retirement program and benefits that we pay out. And so we have to be very careful with those programs. Education is the key to the future. In fact, some folks are surprised, but when my husband and I were a young couple, we struggled to make ends meet. We had small children and not much else. And we were in that position. We didn't have health insurance. It was tough. But we both went back and got our educations, and we are examples of the opportunities that Alaska has to offer. So we understand the importance of education. Our children, our four children, were blessed and did very well in the public schools here. And so we understand the importance of funding the neighborhood schools as well as the charter schools. There's just some awesome charter schools here in our area and some wonderful homeschool going on. So we have to make sure that all those options are available, and some of them are more affordable. And if some families choose to do those for their children, we want to make sure that the charter and homeschool, which is a little bit less per student, is an option. So that's one thing that we need to make sure those options are open. And we also need to look very careful and prioritize the capital spending. And, you know, as far as the capital spending, that is something that you can quickly do away with. But we have to be very cautious. If those of us that were around in the 80s, there was quite the crash and quite an exodus out of Alaska. And so we have worked as a legislature. This is my first term, so I've been in 2 years. And each of those years, within those 2 years, we brought the general fund spending from $8 billion down to $5.99 billion. So we're bringing it down in the right direction. We've got more to go. I was actually an advocate for bringing that down even more. So that's the direction we have to head. But we have to be careful. We don't want to cause a crash like we had in the 80s. But we have to continue to rein it in. We have to look at those programs that perhaps are nice programs, but we're not obligated to offer. And that will be tough. And then we have to look at the capital spending projects. If they have to do with life and safety for our residents, those are the ones that are going to be at the top of the list. If they're very key to economic development and jobs, those will be right under the life and safety. And the other kind of capital projects that would be nice, we began to cut those in the last couple years. It was hard because people come with their hands out. Many groups come with their hands out. And we had to say no to many, many more than we said yes. And that will be the case in the ongoing time. And I don't want to paint a rosy picture. That we can't keep. I don't want to make promises we can't keep, but I will say that I will work to be a good steward. I will work to evaluate and prioritize those things. I always, always keep my door open to listen to people. I make the point to being out and accessible and understanding what is important to the people in our district. That is a priority for me, and I will continue to do that, and I will continue to work to be a steward. And, you know, one thing, as we make decisions, I always look at it as if anyone in our district, or the majority, I should say, of the people in my district had access to the same meetings that I did, to hear the same information, had the same emails coming in that they read, that I read, had the same materials put on their desk before them, that the majority of people would reach the same decisions that I would make. So that is my goal, is to represent the district and make those decisions which reflect the direction our district wants us to go, always keeping in mind the best interest of Alaskans.
Okay. Those are the five questions. Do you have any last comments to make before we finish up?
Well, I've been honored to serve these first 2 years. I absolutely love my home and am so thankful for the opportunity that I've had to raise my family here. And my reason for running really is tied to that very fact that I want to make sure that individuals and families living here are afforded the same opportunities that I had and my family had. And I believe that a limited government is most important, because I'm not about making government great per se. I'm about allowing people to become great. And I believe that people know what's best for their lives and how to spend their money, not the government. So I am all about giving Alaskans the opportunity to be great, and I think that we do have a bright future in front of us if we keep that in mind. We have such innovative people in our state, and I'm very encouraged that as we release people to become great, that they will reach their potential and that Alaska will see some of the potential we know she has, that we will see that in the coming years to a greater extent. So I'm honored to serve, and I would hope that the voters would choose Hughes and vote for me on November 4th, or if you're voting early, I ask that you consider voting for me. I'd be very honored. Thank you very much. And my cell phone number is 907-841-1634, 907-841-1634, and alaskansforhughes.com.
Well, thank you, Representative Hughes. Mike Malevsky here, completing an interview with Shelley Hughes, who will be on the ballot in November. Thanks for coming.